These things I've said I've watched go on my whole adult life, and I've watched the destruction that it's caused my whole adult life as well. And that is the problems associated with all this printing money, the debt. It's not a good system. It just isn't. And I think we're seeing the results of that right now, the crumbling effect that it's had on so many different areas of our society, our lives. And not everybody gets completely caught up in it, but I think that all of us in some ways do. And I've said this many times, that this problem of the fiat money, this printing of money, has become such a critical foundation to all the other problems that we're having. Why, what do I mean by that? Well, we've reached the point where they can't stop printing money. There has to be economic growth. And at some point, the population tops out, and they don't know how to handle that. There's no system in place to deal with that. There was never any plan to deal with it. Look, the fiat money, it's great while it's growing. And then it's not. And that's kind of what's happening. But in the meantime, nobody wants to say, well, we're just going to let it burn. Nobody, you know, most people are going to go along with it. They say, well, we're going to borrow some more to create, because it takes money to make money. You know, that's the argument that they'll give you. Whatever it takes to convince you that, you know, hey, we're just going to keep printing money and that's somehow going to be the end of this. But in reality, it's just the destruction that continues to occur. What is that destruction? Well, the inability of people and families to create wealth, the inability of fathers to support a family, that moms could stay at home and raise the children, or vice versa, I suppose. The people's quality of life affected in a big way, that despite all the automation and modern conveniences that we have, that people still living in conditions that are less than ideal, let's put it that way, living lives that are full of struggle in many ways. And why is that? You'd think we'd have all that straightened out. Well, the taxation, the printing of money, the theft that goes on day over day over day, and it's completely unnecessary. Listen to some of these things going on. Let me finish my thought a second. I said that they have to print the money to continue the economic growth. So they have to find things to put it into. This is my belief. This is why I think you see the whole climate change thing. Like, we need solar panels. What do you mean we need solar panels? We should cut our spending. We're going to be going off of, no, we need to create a whole new economy. We'll call it a green economy. Everybody's going to love it because it's going to create high paying jobs and cheap energy, and hasn't done any of that. Like the infrastructure bill that hasn't developed much infrastructure. It's not what it's for. And there's just another one that they passed and nobody even knows what's in it. Doesn't matter. Long as those presses continue to run, they throw the money up in the air and you grab what you can get, I guess, is the new system. But listen to some of these crazy stories going on. It's all, you know, you look at the pattern. You look at where it's at. You look at what's gone on in the past couple of years. People have short memories. You don't want to think about it. The economic destruction that went on in 2006, the commercial real estate boom that's never been corrected, that continues to create all kinds of problems all over the place. What are those real world problems? Small businesses having a difficult time finding a place to operate, things like that. Cost of housing and apartments going through the roof because there's not enough supply. How can that be, really, when you think about it? It's kind of crazy. All these things, that's all, another whole racket. But anyway, I don't want to get too far off point. They have to continue to print the money so they create these ways to do it, whether it's green energy or a mental health program or a transgender program. We'll create a whole new medical field, the transgender medical field. That's a $1 trillion economy or something like that. Medical, legal marijuana. There's another. They're talking about it here in Pennsylvania, going from medicinal to recreational. And even that is horrific on it of itself. Forget about the marijuana issue and all that. The state of Pennsylvania comes out and they say, we're going to allow a limited number of licensed dispensaries. You're going to have to meet these strict qualifications. You're going to have to buy a permit for like $100,000. Oh, it's all a racket out of the gate. Don't tell me there weren't special favors being played there. Well, anyway, the dispensaries made the investment. They get into it. Well, suddenly they open up a bunch more. They basically decriminalize everything. And what's happened? There's been a huge flood of supply of pot all over the place. Everywhere you go, there's pot now. And the price has gone down as a result. Who got hurt by that? Those people that made those early investments. Now you say, well, they're a bunch of potheads. Who cares? They're small business people. And it's not just them. It's happening all over the place across all kinds of different industries. And it's all as a result of the financial mismanagement at the end of the day that creates the environment for those types of things. I'm not an economist. I'm not an ist of anything, really. What do I know? I just look at what's going on. I say, something's not right here. What is it? We continue to print money. I've watched it go on my whole adult life. The numbers get bigger and bigger. Now they say, well, I may never get paid back. Pay back what? To who? You don't understand what's going on. It's an out-of-control monster. It really is. And this was very much predicted. Exactly this predicament was predicted. There's a Tuttle Twins book on it. They used to make cartoons about it when we were kids. And now they just say, we don't want to talk about it anymore. Just call it stimulus. It's gotten so bad that they don't even do the – how much is the budget? You don't even know. They just passed another $1.2 trillion. They said they're going to blame the Republicans because they want to approve a budget. They're going to do it in pieces. They only do like 90 days at a time. And the month-to-month spending has gotten politicized. Why is that? Money's tight. But listen to some of these things that are going on. Tell me how this is good. Justice Department filed a lawsuit against Apple for antitrust violations. So, or I guess is set to, I'm not sure how this reads here, but it looks like it's definitely coming. I'm not even really sure what it's about. I don't doubt it with Apple, with some of the things that they pulled. I don't know what it is with some of these companies. I guess the temptation's too strong, some of the crap that they pull. But I look at some of the things that Microsoft's doing. Horrible, the way the operating system runs and the way you're tied into certain things. It's just, it'll. For example, why is Microsoft making it so hard to save a document to your local drive instead of on their drives? And everything's connected online. If you don't have an internet connection now, the stuff doesn't work. And way, way too much spying and tracking. And I don't like it. I don't like any of it. But why is Microsoft being let off the hook? In fact, I don't know if I have it here today. Yeah, Biden has a $20 billion investment for Intel. With all the money that Intel has, I was talking about Microsoft. I was confusing the two there. But either way, why are we pumping money into Intel? Well, for the chips or something. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. And so anyway, in other words, the big rich company is going to get a lot bigger and a lot richer, and we're going to foot the bill for it. You see how things work now? I'm sure Biden will skim a lot off the top. Not him, of course, but you know, one of his uncles or something like that. And Biden won't know anything about it, but his uncle will take care of business. Don't you worry. They'll all get paid very well. And then we're going to wonder why every time we go to the grocery store that everything's gotten more and more expensive. My wife brought home a slab of London broil. I actually still have to deal with it. I think I'm going to shave it down. We have these incredibly sharp knives. I'm going to shave it down and see if I can make cheesesteaks out of it. But I don't know if that's going to work real well. I'm going to fry it down in the pan. And I don't know. You really have to, I think, to make London broil good, you have to marinate it, I guess. I'm more of a ribeye. She's like, look. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, time to get creative, I guess. She knows I like steak and egg sandwiches. So, you know, to put ribeye on a steak and egg sandwich is a bit of an endeavor, I guess. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted on that one. Maybe I'll slice it thin. Maybe I'll fillet it down so it's thin. You still really want to marinate that, I guess. Huh? I guess I'm going to have to look into it. Yeah, what are you going to do? The price of meat is so high. What did I tell her? I said, don't pay more than $8 a pound. That's what I got. London broil, I think it is. Good God. I should have been a little more specific. I've got a very small rib. Well, it would have been, I said $8 a pound. That was the qualifier. What are you going to do? Anyway, I got a funny story for you since I'm on the subject of my wife. Why not? Since I got distracted. So my daughter gets this magazine. I'm not going to mention the name. It's supposed to be like basically scientific. It's for kids. And there was some good articles in there, but a lot of woke stuff sprinkled in there. I'm using that kind of broadly. And, you know, of course, it sets a flare with everybody. But bottom line is some of the stuff is just inaccurate, plainly inaccurate. I mentioned the other day, she's doing this podcast, so cute. Everybody I've sent it to is just blown away by the whole thing, the quality of her presentation. I'm so proud of her. So proud that we were able to do something like that together. It's really encouraging for me as a dad. Some of the best work I think I do here. But anyway, She used this magazine to create the first podcast. And I was a little upset. I said something to my wife. So that's why I think she needs to see it. And you and her talk about it. And I did talk to her about it. And amazingly, my wife was right. My daughter, you know, at first she pushed back. And this is about climate change. She was, it is real. And it was about monarch butterflies. And she said, look at this article. I said, yeah, that's a good one. And that's why I don't like this magazine. There are good articles in here. But then there's other junk. And the best lie has got a little bit of truth sprinkled in there. I said, listen, you do it's your podcast. You do what you want. I'm just telling you, it's your credibility. She comes back. I was so proud of my kids sometimes. And my wife was right. I give her credit where credit is due. My daughter comes back and does the third podcast, 10 minutes, and does not use any notes. That's amazing. And it's a very intelligent, follows a coherent path. I don't know what to say. I got great kids. I love them to death. Anyway, back to this. So how did I get down that path? Somehow. London broil, the expense of meat, family. I love them. And I love red meat. And I know that Intel's making a bunch of money, and I'm not. So that's what the problem is. Let me just add this up here for you a second. It's really no joke. Justice Department is suing Apple. You got the whole Trump thing going on with it taking him down. The FCC is investigating Amazon over alleged sale of outlawed products. Gold jumped to $2,200 an ounce for the first time. And millions of seniors behind on student loans risk losing Social Security. What? Seniors behind on student loans. How is any of this happening? And you add all this to the debt dogma. Ooh, that sounded fancy, didn't it? What does it all lead to? I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, middle-aged, whatever, 50s, early 50s, has nothing. No 401k, doesn't own any property. And I thought to myself, in today's day and age, that is a seriously scary proposition to me. It really is. I mean, one dip in your health and you're just in a really bad spot. And I thought about it. I said, man, if you're not making $100,000 these days, you're in trouble. And I've said this before, you know, we're in a good spot. We're pretty fortunate with what we have. But at the same time, we're not fancy people. So our cost of living is pretty low. Jen has a cousin. I mean, they've got an elevator in their house and beautiful fireplaces in every bedroom. Every bedroom has a bathroom and just really, you know, marble everywhere. Yeah, we've got a nice house, but we don't need that at all. Don't want it really for a lot of reasons. Our house, I like it. It's more like a beach house, I think. We spend so much time outside, it just becomes an extension of it. And everything is just geared in that direction. It really is. The layout, the proximity, the grill, the fridge, the bathrooms. And we got plenty of bathrooms. It's a great place, but we live pretty humbly. And we don't have fancy vehicles. We don't take fancy trips. And we don't have any intentions of doing it. Don't have any desire to do it. Pretty much happy with our lifestyle. But having said all that, you know, I would just say your average middle class, if that makes sense. And I look at what it costs us to keep it going, and it's freaky sometimes to me. And I hope that we can keep it going, God willing. But you look at all these things going on, the Justice Department, the actions by our government. Now maybe you know why I say that our biggest threat is the political parties. I ask myself, why can't this stuff be worked out differently? Why are they having to sue Apple? Don't the agency say, listen, this is not a fair practice. And maybe they have, by the way. Maybe they have. Maybe these companies have gotten so bullish and the lawyers push everything. Oh, you could do it. You do it. You do it. You do it. I don't know. I really don't know. And I don't trust any of it. But it's a lot of good stuff going on. There's a real conflict, you could say, going on between industry and government right now in many, many areas. And, you know, what is all the cost of more lawyers, more legal action, more court time? How much of our overall effort is spent in that direction? Really crazy when you think about it. And it's not productive. It's not solving any real problems. It's not inventing anything new. It's not doing anything for our quality of life. not doing anything to build a better future, not doing anything to fix the problems of today, not one bit. And it's a real shame. And I think a lot of it has to do with this, the fact that our government spending is so out of control. And people just come to realize that, look, the government's going to come in and save the day. There's always going to be a government bailout. You know, the auto industry, the savings and loan bailout, there will be a college loan bailout. There was a COVID bailout, just one bailout after another bailout after another bailout, but nothing's ever getting paid back. And it doesn't mean that there's not a price to be paid. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. You know, when you say, oh, the debt will never be repaid, the bankers rejoice. Perfect. Perfect. They weren't expecting it to. Isn't that funny? They don't ever want it paid back. They're happy to continue to collect the interest day after day after day. This out-of-control spending, it's even more nefarious than that. It's put so much power with the federal government that they can take so much in terms of the percentage of tax revenue, half of all the spending goes to the federal government. And you look in reality of what the state and local governments do in exchange for what the federal government does, you begin to see how corrupted it is. But they take half the money, which is starving important resources out of our communities, our counties, and our states, sending it down to Washington where it's obliterated into a mess. How much sent to Ukraine and God knows where else? Where does it even go? And if that's not enough, this same out-of-control, massive federal government borrows another gazillion dollars a year, year over year, just adding to the tab, all run by about 600 people down in Washington that are acting like a multi-head monarchy that's more evil than a single-head monarchy. At least you know who to blame. In this case, they sit there blaming each other. We believe it so far as much that we send them money to fight with each other. Isn't that something? Quite the racket, wouldn't you say? It's the spending. We've got to get it under control. And it's another one of those things, just not even discussed anymore, not even a topic. Whenever I bring it up, people say it's a non-starter, a balanced budget. Ah, who wants to talk about that? We want to let the party go. Speaker Mike Johnson under pressure after the House passed the $1.2 trillion bill. Huge waste in there. Nobody cares. It's not. When is the time to start looking at the waste? I don't know. Here's some of the things that Jesse Waters says are in there. I saw he posted this on Twitter. What's in the monster bill? Congress is rushing to pass. They made the argument nobody could even read it. They don't want them to. $850,000 for a gay senior home. $15 million to pay for Egyptians' college tuitions, $400,000 for a gay activist group to teach elementary school kids about being trans. This is what I'm talking to you about. You're going to put this money in there. They're going to show up at somebody's school. Trust me. $500,000 for a DEI zoo, $400,000 for a group to give clothes to teens to help them hide their gender. Just a couple of things that were noticed there. So, a couple of things that all this impacted, in case you don't care. One is the inflation. People are beginning to see that. But I think we need to take a step back and just talk about this inflation for a second, because it's a sneaky little thing. And you say, you know, the price of food's gone up a lot. And so, you know, instead of the normal ribeye, we're going to see if we can make this London broil work. And that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with any of that. I think it's good, actually. It's really good. And we're looking at all of our expenses right now. It's amazing what we've been able to cut. Looking at our cell phone bill, somebody was like Mint Mobile or something, as opposed to Verizon. This heat pump we put in has saved a lot of costs. It was amazing the costs that we've cut this year. I've been really happy because since we moved in here, and you probably heard me talking about it in general terms, our budget just went nuts. And finally, I feel like we've been able to get under control a little bit through some changes that we made. But it took 3 or 4 years to get it done, I guess. But anyway, I understand it's these costs, but you see it in the inflation. But it's not just that. It's a little bit more nefarious because, you know, our military is being gutted and robbed. Our nation's infrastructure is being gutted and robbed. All the deferred maintenance, you know, it's insane. Social Security borrowed against, you know, what haven't they wrung dry at this point? I want to talk a little bit in that regard about the impact on our military and our defense, because this poor fiscal policy is having a big impact on that. And then you'll have Republicans come in or whatever party comes around next and says, well, the answer, we need to give the military more money. Oh, my goodness. How do we cut the costs? In simple terms. And some of these things get really hard to shut off. They really do. They approve these programs. They put things in place. I say it all the time. Once it gets going, it gets really hard to cut back, doesn't it? Anyway, the Dominican Republic on the Haiti chaos is complaining that their national security is at risk. I find this laughable that, you know, just a few hundred miles off our own coast and we're letting this country fall into complete chaos and not doing anything about it. This is not the America that we used to be. It's amazing to me that we'll send all this money and do whatever it takes to help Ukraine, but somehow in Haiti, we have nothing to offer. Could that have anything to do with the Clintons and all the money that they've sent down there? Not. Russia is returning to its Cold War posture with plans to increase troops on the borders with Europe. They're doing it in response to NATO's actions. This has all been very predictable. And guess what? It's all going to be very expensive. And I think that the Russia and the Chinese, they're going to start engaging in a little financial, hit job on the United States. I could see this coming. They say, we see a vulnerability. The United States wants to cut back on spending. We're going to ratchet up tensions along these borders and stretch those resources good and thin. See if we can douse the morale of the American military. So now all of a sudden our national security has become at risk because of the financial mismanagement of our political establishment. 600 people down in Washington, to be exact. They can't get along. They create a lot of purposeful confusion, constantly point the finger at one another, never accept responsibility for anything, never seem to come up with any solution that doesn't involve simply spending more money on something. It's not working. We need to take a different course of action. We need to learn and develop ways to do more with less. We'll set it backwards. I'll find myself down in Washington, right? What is it going to take for people to say that this is a serious problem, a default on the debt? And let's talk about that for a minute, because I'm guessing that the real problem down in Haiti has something to do with that they've had some kind of a financial fallout, that they can't afford to pay police or keep services intact or whatever the case might be. And this becomes the natural result of that, this blowout. When civil order falls apart, this is what happens, and it doesn't take much to hit a tipping point. This is why I say this is so concerning. You know, they're saying they're not responding to police calls in certain areas now. And trying to take away guns, they've made the laws very difficult to defend yourself. And you think about the mayhem, it doesn't take much. And I see this going on in these other places, and you can see this path that we're on. We got to get this spending in order, and I don't care, fiat money be gone, do the adjustment, go to a different currency. They've already got things in place to do this. I don't even know why it's such a big deal, really. They have to do some kind of a currency adjustment, but we really need to get something type of, tying our currency to some kind of fixed value, because it's just simply, this can't continue where the value of the dollar is being politicized. It's not a fair, just system that we as individuals or any business owner, anybody wakes up today, tomorrow, and the value of the dollar is something different. I've been arguing, we don't even talk about this stuff anymore, that gasoline and oil should be regulated as a utility. Require that we buy American and regulated as a utility doesn't mean that you make foreign illegal. See? So you can bring in foreign oil and gas if you want. You can buy it cheaper. It's up to you. I don't know about that part. But you say domestic oil and gas must be used domestically, and you fix the price, just like you do electric. I say, I don't like it. Why not? How ridiculous is it? Why you don't like it with electric? Why wouldn't you want it with gasoline? Why is it that we wake up something so important to our lives at this point, the freedom to travel? I mean, if that's not an important freedom today, you know, they say a driver's license in Pennsylvania, it's a privilege, not a right. Racket right out of the gate. And then they're going to mess with the cost of the gasoline. Who's it hurt? the poorest people, young people trying to raise families, working hard, taking a job an hour away so that they can make ends meet to support a family, have enough money for a decent living, and then they got to wake up and worry that the price of gas is going to double. Go out and get the new dream truck and, oh, told you right, shouldn't have got such a gas guzzler. Well, you know, people want to live. People want to live. And all I'm saying is that the price shouldn't be volatile. Shouldn't be you wake up one day, it's this, tomorrow it's that. What way is that to live? That's part of why I'm happy to have the heat pump. Reduce my need, my dependency on the oil, and I can go back and forth pretty freely. And I will, actually. My wife and I were just talking about it, as a matter of fact. She wants to go back to more oil. I was like, I like the heat pump. I really do. It has its pros and cons. And we're running, this is down to 40, you know, about 40 degrees outside. And I've been super happy with the performance we're seeing out of that at those temperatures. So we'll see, I guess, when the electric bill comes in. Anyway, where was I on the spending and the defense? On the fuel. You know, I was arguing that we needed price stability there. Now we've gone a whole different direction. We're so far beyond any of that, so far beyond that. They're messing with the value of the dollar that's coming on such a regular basis, you know, literally that you wake up today and you find that the value of the money is different. The money at the end of the year, there's such a disparity. What does this mean in net terms? I don't mean to be so cryptic about it. Let's make it real simple. You know, I have a son that's 25 years old. And I say to myself, how is he going to be able to afford a home without my help? I was asking a buddy of mine, his daughter bought a house a couple of years ago. She said, could you help her at all? No. And they had to move out of ways to get something affordable. But they were able to do it on their own. Two kids are just two young adults now. They're not kids anymore. And they're go-getters, and they're making it happen. They're building a life for themselves. It's amazing to watch. That's what you want, right? You want to raise your kids. You want to watch them go off. And they're going to go to college. They're going to learn a trade, whatever they're going to do, and they're going to go out on their own. And what are they going to do? They're going to have a house and kids, and you're going to go over on the weekends and see the grandkids. And that, I mean, this is all life is about. That's all. And how are you supposed to do that when you can't afford to buy a home, can't afford the gas to get to work? And it just goes on and on and on. I don't want to get down this depressing path. But you look at all the things that government has thrown money at under the guise of making it more affordable or better, education, healthcare, housing, and it has not worked. It's blowing up in our faces. Sadly, and I'll just say this before I let you go, nothing's going to change because it can't. You know, everybody holding real estate today isn't going to say, yeah, sure, let's devalue everything by half to create a little better opportunity for the young people. So what do we do? What is the simple vision for this country? I've told you a million times, it is the redevelopment of our urban areas, particularly in like secondary cities like Cincinnati, for example. You could probably create 100,000, 200,000 housing units there easily. A lot of the infrastructure already in place, many things in place there. You'd have such a head start on it. It's a beautiful place, has a decent, mild climate. It's got a great proximity. How do you bring industry in there? How do you encourage a vision? How do we do that? Because you could, even a few years ago, you could get apartments down there for $25,000 a unit. Maybe it's gone to $50,000 today. I don't know. I haven't looked in a while. I'm hearing down here in Chestnut Hill, Philadelphia, $300,000 a unit for a two-bedroom apartment is what an investor's paying. $300,000. Do you know what the rent on that thing has to be? And you ask yourself why the prices have gotten so out of control. You can't change it. You can't change it. That guy's never going to agree. They'll hold on to it, and wisely so. I understand all that. And you don't want to devalue all that, and that's not how you create value in the long term. Look, we got people coming into this country. Bring them in legally, and let's rebuild these areas that desperately need it. They're all over the place. The Pocono region of Pennsylvania, West Philadelphia, Cincinnati, I already said, Jacksonville, Florida. And I don't even travel that much. You could easily go find any of these areas that are ripe for redevelopment. You've got a labor force in place, infrastructure in place. Why aren't we looking at this? Because everybody's got their heads in the sand. Everybody wants to get a lawyer. Everybody wants to fight with each other. And everybody wants to get rich quick. Nobody wants to do the dirty jobs anymore. The good news is it's leaving a ton of opportunity on the table despite everything going on. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.